Today I want to talk about where we're at, where we want to go, just not as a church necessarily, but as people. And I think I'm really qualified to talk about this, and my title today is Comfort Zones. And I think I'm really qualified because I have lived in the comfort zones many times, and so have you. And you know, and you get into these, and I call them ruts, and you get into these ruts and you don't know how to get out. And this is part of my Keys to Practical Living sermon series that I had been doing before Ashley got the children's service last week. And I just felt so compelled to continue with this because this is one that I just really wanted to speak to. You know, I don't know about you, but I just feel sometimes that I get in these ruts, these situations where I just can't get out. And I think when you go to church, not only do we learn about the things of God and the Bible when we study, I think that we need practical application of how that Bible applies to my life every day. And one of those things that really I struggle with sometimes is getting in a rut, getting in this comfort zone. And you say, Pastor, I don't know, sometimes it's okay. I get comfortable. I get comfortable with my family, my job, school, my church, whatever the case may be. And I'm feeling pretty good. And that's okay. I'm not saying being comfortable is the problem. I think sometimes, though, we get stuck in a situation that we are just feeling this churning inside and we just can't get out. You know, think about a job. Think about a job you've had for years and you just feel like, you know, my wife went through this. She was at this company for 18 years and she was just, you know the story, we've testified to it before. She was feeling so stuck. Job had changed over the years. It wasn't the job she had when she started. It had morphed into something that she just really kind of didn't sign up for. You know that. And she's stuck, but she got into a comfort zone of the paycheck, the people, the whole thing, you know. And it took me 13 years to get her the change. You're supposed to laugh right there. It only took her about a year right there. And finally, she broke out of her comfort zone and moved from where she was at to something new. And that new thing has challenges. We'll talk about that today. It has situations that, but she's not real comfortable with it today because she's learning something new. And learning something new is good. But here's a question for you this morning. What's the greatest risk you have faced in life? Think about that. It's kind of rhetorical. Just think in your head. What's the greatest risk you faced in your life? Here's another question. What is the greatest risk you are facing today? What is the greatest risk you faced in life? Some big thing that you faced, this risk, and you took this risk? Or what's the greatest risk you're facing today? You may be sitting here today saying, I'm thinking about this situation, and it is so risky, I just don't know if I can do it. This is for you. This message today is for you. I'm going to jump right to Matthew 4. 18 through 22, and I'm sorry the print is so small on the back. I hope you can see it. I try not to throw so much on one slide, but I just wanted the impact on this one. That Matthew writes in chapter 4, he says, while walking, Jesus is talking here, Matthew's writing Jesus about what Jesus does, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he sees two brothers. Jesus takes a look, says, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, are casting their nets in the sea. You know the scripture. Couple fishermen, very common sight. But they're fishermen, and he says to them, hey, follow me, and I will now make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two more brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. Pardon my mess up there. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. They left their father and took off. You know, look at the word that's there that just jumps out at me. I'm a pastor that jumps out. It says immediately. It doesn't say they contemplated. It doesn't say they had to figure it out. It doesn't say, and pastor, he's God. Of course they're going to follow him. Nah. The Bible says that, you know, people didn't know who he was at that time. They didn't understand. In fact, the question to Peter later was, who do you think I am? Jesus asked him, who do you think I am? Well, you're the Messiah. Well, that wasn't there. This guy shows up on, when they're out there casting the nets and fishing, and says, follow me. And they just dropped them and said, let's go. How many here would actually do that? Here comes a stranger and says, follow me. I got a new job for you. I'm out of here. I quit. Who would turn in their notice that second to their employer and say, I'm out of here? Who would go to their dad in the boat and say, I'm out of here, Dad. I'm going to follow this guy. Who's that guy? I don't know. I'm just going to follow him. Because immediately they went. Now, there's somebody leaving a comfort zone and following a stranger. Now, your pastor is not telling you to do that. I'm telling you what the Word says. And then there's this other story in Genesis chapter 12. Love this story. You know the story. This guy named Abraham. But Abram at the time, and he's really comfortable in his life. Really, you know, he had a good family. God had been good. Things moving. He's comfortable, right? Got something to eat. Hanging out. Life's okay, you know. Lot, his nephew, the same, you know. But God kind of stirred things and said, you got to get up and go. If you read in Genesis 12, they got up and went. Their families got together, and Abram got his family together, and Lot and his wife, and they got their family together, and they got together, and they got their stuff, their animals, and they ventured out to an unknown land. And as they're traveling, their livestock and stuff accumulates. My stuff accumulates at home, and I'm not even moving. Can you imagine? You're moving, and your stuff's getting bigger and bigger. And it becomes a troublesome situation because so much cattle and whatnot, and there's only so much grass. And so Abram looks at Lot and says, hey, we got to split up. We got to split up. We left home, and now we're together as family. At least we're together as family, but now we got to split up because we can't support everything. So here's another change, and you know this story, and they look at each other, and Abram says, listen, you go one way, I'll go the other way. And then Abram looks at Lot and says, hey, you pick first, and then I'll take the second. So you pick whatever you want. So, you know, Lot says, okay, I'll do that. And he looks, and he sees this lush, beautiful land over here. So I'll go that way. Right? Probably do the same. All the good stuff's over here. He sees it. I'm heading this way. Okay. And Abram says, I'll go over here. I'll head the opposite direction. It don't look so good over here. It looks kind of barren. There's only a handful of trees. It looks like a desert, the Bible says. It's lush over here, and it looks barren over here. But Lot and his family take off this way. Abram takes off this way. They separate. But then, as Abram is moving into his direction, he has made a decision to leave the comfort zone twice. He left home, and now he's traveling with his family, Lot, there, so they're together. Now he gets, Lot goes one way, he's looking at this thing and says, well, this is bad. But I'm going to do it anyways because God said to move out. I'm going to move, and I'm going to go. And here in Genesis 13, as soon as this happens, let's read Genesis 13, 14 through 15, and here's what happens at that moment. It says, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all this land that you see, I'm going to give it to you and your offspring forever. That was the reward for leaving a comfort zone and going someplace that didn't look too good. It's the same reward Calvary Church is going to get when we move from this comfortable area that we've been in for years and years and years, and we move into a new building. And we move from what we've seen and felt, everything, you know, around the church grounds and the campus that we've seen for years change. The sign's different and things are going to change. It's the same. It's not going to be a different location, though. In your life, it looks better to go to the lush, nice tree side as opposed. But then when he went this way, God said, here's what I have for you. And look what it says. Eastward, westward, southward, and northward. That's everywhere. I mean, right? I mean, where else is there to go? The Bible says in Proverbs 69, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps along the way. I have this vision of what we're going to do around Calvary Church, but it is God that establishes my steps to get there. Right? Same thing he did with Abraham. Here's a quote for you. Listen, it says, no matter how young or old, rich or poor, educated or uneducated we are, the greatest risk we face in life is the risk of not taking a chance. Jeez. Abraham could have stayed right there at home. Abraham could have stayed right there when they were separating and not moved. Abraham could have just hung out with Lot and stayed with him. They could have tried to make it work. But he didn't. So I want to talk to you here for a few minutes about this comfort zone thing, what the Bible says about it. But the first thing I want to talk to you about is three things that really keeps us in a comfort zone. These are big three things that keep us where we're at. When God says, I want you out of there, or we're feeling this churning inside to get out of there, whatever that is, it could be anything, church. It could be your jobs and living in a house. I don't know. But listen to this. Here's three big things that keep us where we're at. And the number one thing is fear. Research says fear is the number one motivator of your behavior. Bar none, it's the number one thing that motivates us as human beings. Motivates us? That doesn't even sound right, but it is. It is a motivator. When fear keeps you where you're at and God wants you to move out, that's a human thing keeping you there. You're afraid. And I'm going to tell you something. Fear changes things. Fear. Listen what I think about fear. Fear is the area in your life and my life where we trust God the least. Fear is where you and I trust God the least. Pastor, you're saying you've never been fearful? Oh yeah, I've been fearful. And every time I look back at that, it is exactly where I trust my God the least, is when I'm fearful. I'm basically saying, God, I think you got everything else, but you don't got this. You don't got this one, but you got all these, and I believe you for all this stuff that I can see, like Abraham could see, but I don't trust you for the stuff I don't. That's what fear does. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me, and he then delivered me from all my fears. Well, what does that say? That means you've got to go after God to get over the fear that you don't trust him for in the first place. That's what that means. What's the number two thing that keeps us in our comfort zone? Hold on, church. I'm not stepping on any toes. I'm just going into the word. But it's laziness. Uh-oh. You know, Pastor, you just went from preaching to meddling this morning. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 7 says, now here is a command, dear brothers, given in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by his authority, stay away from Christians who spend their days in laziness. Does not follow the idea of hard work that I set up for you. Wow. Now look what the scripture says. It doesn't say stay away from the non-believer. It says stay away from the Christian, the believer, who just wants to hang out and do nothing. Why is that? Well, that doesn't sound real biblical, right? Because that stuff rubs off. Right? Watch what the word does here in a few minutes. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 3:11. You know, it says, yet we hear that some of you are living in laziness, refusing to work and wasting your time, what? Chattering, gossiping, the word says. You know, I'm going to give you guys a big boost today. I thank you that that's not here. I'm going to tell you right now, as your pastor, I thank you that that's not here. I found out yesterday on a big text exchange that there are all kinds of I don't know how many people, but people came here to work at the church but didn't tell my wife and I the pastors. I'm not sure why. They just came to work. I don't know if they just didn't want us showing up. I don't know. But they came here and they worked. Now, some of them had been working all the time, and they still showed up on a Saturday to work. My wife and I were just blown away. That's a commitment to the house of God. That's not laziness. You know, this is a special place. Because I preach about this stuff, but a lot of it, you know, I am just reinforcing what the Word says. But let me tell you something. The motivator in your life of fear and then laziness, I can tell you right now, I know we all get fearful, but we don't have a whole lot of laziness in Calvary Church. God, thank you. Number three. Now, here's your pastor, because I've done this more than I care to admit. But one thing that keeps me stuck in this comfort zone is my excuses. Yeah, I make excuses, so do you, but I know how to make a good excuse. I know how to do that, so do you. Excuses by their nature imply God has limitations or an inability to break through the barriers of your life. God is not bound by or imposes any limitations on us other than his commandments in his word. Sadly, many of us have limitations that are self-imposed. Pastor Brad's really good at making the excuse of why I can't do this or move here or do that. Or, you know, I've told you a story before when we were moving here 3 years ago. I was interviewing up in St. Paul, Minneapolis for a really large church up there. And I thought that was an honor. And Nicole's just freaking out, you know, right? I told you the story before. And she says, we're moving here and you're interviewing way up in the coldest part. You're not going to want to go there. It's cold, she said. She, wives know how to get you, right? They know what to say because she knows I hate the cold. She said, Brad, it is cold. I think the word she used was bone chilling cold up in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I said, well, hey, you know, but we can make excuses all we want for why we don't want it's too cold for me. But we can make excuses to make excuses to make excuses to stay right where we're at because we don't want to move. Why? It's comfortable here. I don't want to go to Abraham's barren land when I got this comfort zone right here because that doesn't look so good right there. But what we don't see is the blessing and favor God has in the middle of the desert. Right? Proverbs 22:13 says the lazy man is just full of excuses. Now we got lazy, the Bible says, and now we got excuses all in one scripture. Pretty good, huh? Pretty good. That's good preaching, people. I don't care what you say. That's good preaching. That's good preaching. So, okay, Pastor, how do you get out of that? How do I go from this place where I'm at, my life, my job, my family, my church, all the, how do I get out of that? This comfort zone, see, God really loves to move and shake us up. You know that? Do you understand that? That as soon as you get entrenched in this situation in your life where you're saying to yourself, I like it here, God's going to come in and say, oh, wait a second. Yeah, right. I'm going to come in and say, whoa, wait a second here. I got to make a change. Why? Because what I have for you is not going to happen there. It's going to happen over there. See, you could stay where you're at, walking and hanging out with the family like Abraham was doing with Lot, but really he says go to the barren side and then head that direction, but I got something big for you. But if you don't do that, you're never going to get there. So you're sitting here today saying, Pastor, I can't do that. I'm not lazy. I don't have excuses. I'm not fearful. Okay, those are just three big things. But how do you get out of where you're at? How do you get out of this situation where you're at? Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about those keys to practical living on comfort zones. Number one. Now, I'm a pro at this stuff. I do this all the time. I do it too much, my wife said. I examine who I am and where I'm at. I examine who I'm at, who I am as a person, and where I'm at in life. Now, I'm a change guy. Okay? You know what that is? Some people don't mind change. I don't mind change. I'll change. But I examine myself often. Now, my wife has not changed person at all. It takes her years to make big changes. The big three, right? Job, family's number two. Church is a big one, right? Where you live is a big change. We've had those all here recently. She's had them all. She changed jobs. She changed homes, right? Big changes. Changed locations of where we live. Big changes. I examine who I am and where I'm at. Here's a question for you. If you don't like who you are today, church, why do you stay there? If you don't like your job today, why do you stay in the job? If you don't like where you live, well, pastor, it's finances, it's this, it's that. God will give you a way if you start walking. Even though it looks like a barren land, there's something there for you. I love when people talk to me about churches. You know, first thing they say, well, how many people are you having in church? I said, that's a small church. But the people are the best quality people you will ever find. And I say to them, they say, well, you know, 80 people, 60 people, whatever, you know. I go to a church of 400 right now. I said, well, that's great. So we measure our churches on people and how many show up on a Sunday morning. That's kind of scary. And I like this comfort zone because there's so many people there that I don't have to do a lot because there's a lot of people. They don't ask me to do a lot. See, you see all the things in that, how it's riddled with situations and problems? I don't even want to get into the conversation with them. It's tough. But I examine who I am and where I'm at. Here's a quote for you. You've got to know why you are where you are and accept you cannot become what you want to be by remaining where you're at or who you are. There's got to be a change, church. You got to move out from where Abraham had to do something to see the change. He had to have faith that he's going into the barren side, the barren land, before he would get the north, south, east, and west of everything. Romans 3:19 says, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that the murmurs and excuses of every mouth may be hushed, and all the world may be held accountable to God. What does that mean? That means there's an accountability situation going on here in your life and my life. And that accountability is to the Creator, the person that made me. There's an expectation because he's the boss and I am not. This quote says, regardless of why you are where you are, once you realize you're accountable to God, I'd say it's time to pack your bags and leave your comfort zone, whether it's a five-star resort or not. Because you're going to have a better opportunity moving out of your five-star resort and getting out into the barren lands to get the rewards of heaven than hanging back and saying, I'm going to stay here. See, church, it's easy to stay in the comfort zone. There's no challenge too much, right? So that's the first thing. The number two thing to get you out of this comfort zone is this. Let go of what holds you back. Let go. Quote says, if you're wondering what people will think of you if you fail on a new endeavor, job or what have you, you're worried about the wrong person. Mark 7:8-10 says, you have to let go of the commands of God. And boy, I tell you what, I've read that scripture a million times in my studies, and I still can't get it right, right? You have let go of the commands of God, and you are holding on to the traditions of men. See, the Bible says there's two things, God's commands and the traditions that we're so used to in this life, right? And we have a decision. There's a command of God, which we are obliged to follow, and then there's what we want. And one of them's going to win out. You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. We make excuses for the things of God and then follow what we want to do. I am really good at that. I know how to do that really well. If you want to know how to do that, come see me. I know how to do that. You know how to do that? I can make excuses for God, and I can make excuses for me. Say, I want this, right? Mark 7, 8 through 10, it's a powerful scripture. There comes a point, a time when you have to realize that what you have been doing is no longer working. And you need to let go, shake up, change what you have been doing. And church, do something else. Evaluate what holds you back from moving out of your comfort zone. Number three, how to move out of the comfort zone. Out with the old and in with the new. Out with the old. Now, some of you are old enough like me to remember a TV show called Star Trek. Come on, if you watch Star Trek, raise your hand, you Trekkie. Yeah, see there? And there is this phrase on that show. My brother was a big Trekkie. I wasn't so much, but I had to watch it because he watched it. I get annoying, right? And they had this phrase, where no man has gone before. Sometimes, here's a quote, sometimes we need to forget the way things used to be done and do something that has never been done before. You have to go someplace you have never gone before. To Bold Eagle, would that say that? What's that Bold Eagle, blah, 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 you know, Star Trek thing? To go and venture out and do something. Here's what I hear often. Pastor, I've never done that before. And I would come back and say, well, neither did I. Neither did Abraham. Neither did so-and-so. Neither did so-and-so. Right? You have to go there and figure it out because you've never done it before. You have done that many times, but sometimes we end up doing that venturing out thing on things that we want to do, those traditions, and not on the things that God wants us to do. And then we wonder why it's not working out, right? You can't live on what was or what could have been. And we live there a lot. We live there. Time I'll call him back. We live there. Luke 9:62 says, Jesus said, anyone who begins to plow a field but keeps looking back is of no use to the kingdom. Church, I'm going to tell you, that's a powerful scripture. Philippians 3:13-15 says, forgetting those things which are behind, I've used this before, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God, Christ Jesus. Wow. Powerful. Isaiah 43:19 says, for I'm about to do something new. Church, he's doing something new here at Calvary Church. He's doing it. You are on the edge of a move of God. You're not seeing certain things yet, but we're going to walk into it anyways. See, I've already begun. Don't you see it? What a question he has to ask. Don't you see what's going on? I'll make the pathway through the wilderness. I will create the rivers in the dry wasteland. God can't do something new in your life or pull you out of a comfort zone as long as you're staying right where you're at. Do something new to move out of your comfort zone, whatever that may be. Do something, right? Number four says, good habits will move you up and out. Bad habits will bring you down. Wow, what's a habit? You know what a habit is. A habit is something you do really often. But there's this extra piece that we have to add on there about habits. It's something that we do a lot, and then it becomes easy. See, we can do something that we do a lot, but it doesn't come easy. But once it becomes easy, it's really a habit. And studies say if you do that habit for 21 days, if you do this for 21 days, it becomes a habit in 21 days. 21 to 30 days, study says, right? So it says, if you could just push through, you hear this every year, I'm going to go to the gym, and I did 30 days or 21 days, and you know that doesn't happen a whole lot. And we watch those people drop off at the gym, and I'm over at the gym, and you know they just, you know, because they don't make it a habit. It's hard. That first step to make it a habit, make a decision, church. Make a decision. Job 22:26 says, you shall also decide and decree one thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon you. One thing, just pick one thing in your life and make one big decision about it. I'm going to do this, Pastor. I'm going to focus on it, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to make it a habit. Here's a good one. I will not miss Sunday morning church at 10 o'clock ever. Now, when you do because you're sick or something, fine. But you have established a pattern. You have established a habit. Here's another habit. The Learning Center classes are starting September 11th. I'm going to go to Rhonda or Ken's class or the other ones that come about, and I'm going to be there. And I'm going to make it a habit to be there. See, you're establishing a pattern. You establish a habit. Listen to this. Success is a habit. Mediocrity is a habit. Failure is a habit. Positive mental attitude is a habit. Debt-free living is a habit. Exercise is a habit. Not exercising is a habit. A quote for you says, everything you're doing in your life right now, you have a habit of doing. But by the same token, what you're not doing right now, you're also in a habit of not doing. And the only way to change a habit of not doing something is to start doing it. I told you this was practical. Right? It's a dangerous, slippery slope a Christian lives in when we live in this fact that we're just not going to do it. Because it's harder to do it. It's harder to walk with the family and take all our possessions and go out and say, you go this way and I'm going this way. It's hard. It's hard to make that change. But you don't get God's reward of east, west, north, and south unless you go. You create the right habits and you'll move out of your comfort zone. Number five, winding it up. How do you get out of comfort zones? You create a new circle. Now, everybody has a circle of friends. We all have those friends that we talk about. We say, this friend is... And we have that one or two that we say, I don't know about that one. That's kind of like the weak link in the chain, right? But they're in the circle. Breaking free from a comfort zone may require you to change your friend circle. Pastor, I've had that friend for years. Maybe that friend's not the most encouraging person in your life. Maybe that friend's not the most uplifting person in your life. Maybe you'll find out that that person's not the one that you should be hanging around with. I don't know. You have to make that decision. But your life is directly influenced by your friends. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be fooled by those who say such things. For bad company corrupts good character. So one bad apple can spoil the bunch, but you can have some friends in the circle that kind of just, you may not even know it, but they're not pushing you out of your comfort zone like you know, they may be pulling you back. I'm not telling you they have to influence you to do something all the time, but I just have known people that I have just had to part ways with because they are just kind of like Debbie Downer. If your name is Debbie, I'm not putting you down. Okay? Just saying. Do your friends encourage you, discourage you, ignore your dreams, hopes, and plans for the future? Or do they say, hey, if that's what God's laying on your heart, I'm behind you. Let's figure it out together. If you're looking at a big job change and you got your friends that surround you, say, I'm going to pray for you. Are they praying for God's wisdom and to impart in your life to help you move out of your comfort zone and change a situation? Or are they saying, ooh, that's not as much money as you could make. That's not a location you would really want to live in. That's not really what you want, is it? I mean, just those questions of negativity tell me, wow, I don't know. I'd rather them say, let's agree together for God's wisdom in your life, in your decision making. That's a person I'm going to hang around with. Right? You don't need anybody holding you back as you break free from a comfort zone. You need support and encouragement. Job 12:4 says, yet my friends laughed at me. For I call on God and expect an answer. I'm just a blameless man, yet they're laughing. If your friends are laughing at you for you trying to go from where you're at to where God wants you, or you're feeling that I got to break free and do something different, that's not the person you want maybe in your circle of friends. Wow. Number six, keep yourself motivated during your comfort zone exodus. This is the last one. How do you get out? You got to keep yourself motivated as you're getting out. Abraham and Lot didn't stop when they were walking. They didn't set up camp and never move again. They kept evaluating what was going on as they were moving. Why? Because the scripture says they finally looked at all the livestock they had and said, wow, we can't support this anymore being together. They were evaluating what was going on as they were exiting their comfort zone of back at the homeland, the Bible says. The question I have for you is, what will it take to keep you motivated on your move from mediocrity to success, or from where you're at to where God maybe wants you to be? From not just getting by, but having more than enough. From average to excellence, whatever that may be. What do you have to do? You know, there's these people that look at these images and they say, this is what I want. They have these dreams and they say, I want the bigger house. Or whatever it may, I'm not saying that's a bad thing or a good thing. I'm just saying that's what they do. They do what I call a visual image perspective, right? They look at that and they say, wow, that's where I want to be. That's okay. Or they're motivated by a person. A person is in their life and they say, let's do this together. I just mentioned that. And they have this person, and many of you have best friends, and that best friend is alongside of you and moves you from where you're at to where you want to be. But here's something I want to tell you as you're going through the process. Here's something that's really key, and that's to laugh a lot. Such practical. Such practical. Laugh a lot. Laughter's great medicine. It is great medicine. It's easier to not laugh at certain situations than to laugh at and say, well, I'm never going to do that again. And just, really, just laugh a lot. Job 12:4 says, yet my friends laughed at me, for I called on God. You know, we don't need that. We need to laugh along the way and say, God, take me. And, oh, I made a mistake. I took this detour. I went this way. I should have done that. That's not where he wanted me to be. Why, the door's closed. And, all right, back on track. Big decisions, leaving comfort zones. I'm going to ask our music team to come forward right now. I'm going to wrap it up and just ask you a couple big questions today before we leave and head out to lunch or wherever God has for you today. I just want to continue to challenge you to, you know, I say this phrase often in church. I say this phrase, God wants to take you from where you're at to where he wants you to be. But see, many times, we go from where we're at to where I want to be. And that's what the Bible says is your traditions or God's command for your life. See, there's the difference. And that's kind of a slippery slope, because I want to make sure God doesn't have a problem with us having dreams and aspirations. God doesn't have a problem with you having a dream or aspiration for some thing in your life and tradition. That's not it. He has a problem if you place that before him and what he wants for you. That's where the challenge comes in, right? It is a, you know, I want this and I want that. And when I talk to people in counseling, I always listen for the word I. It's just what I'm trained to do. I. And then I'd come back and I'd say, but God, what does God want? And a lot of times they'll say to me what God wants. And then I would have to say, then why are you where you're at? And it really puts things into perspective. What does God want? And I've had other people say, I don't know what God wants. And I would say, why don't you know? And then they would say, I've never asked. And he's never told me. And I would say, maybe you better ask. Because I don't know if God may want that. Are you sure? And if God does, then go with it. But sometimes you've got to move out of your comfort zone to find out what that is. The Bible story about Abraham is just that. You know, it takes some challenges for us, and it takes some faith on our part to step out. Church, it's easier to stay. It's easier to stay right where we're at because there's no challenge there. There's no challenge. The Bible says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I read this. See, I'm doing something new. Now it springs up. Don't you see it? I'm just convinced it says, don't you see it? Because we're not looking for it. Don't you see what's going on? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning, and all eyes closed. I just want to ask you a couple questions before you leave. We have a couple minutes left. No one looking around. I just want to pray for you today. I want to know who you are. I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not going to ask you to come up and embarrass you this morning, but I want to pray for you. And here's a question I have. How many would say that they are just stuck in this comfort zone or this rut of their life and they just don't know how to get out? Is that you this morning? Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Yeah, many hands. Many hands. Many hands. So with that question, I have another question. But those that raised their hands, and maybe those that didn't, how many would commit today to move from where you're at, out of the comfort zone, and seek a new season in your life, whatever that is? If that is you, and you're going to commit this morning, I am going to seek something new. One decision, one thing, I'm going to do it. If that's you, raise your hand. Thank you. Many hands, many hands, many hands. Church, stand with me. I believe God's done it before. I believe God's going to do it again, right? If you need prayer today and you raise your hand, I'm here to pray with you. But we're going to go out believing that if you raised your hand, God's going to do it again. You believe that? Let's sing together and believe.